All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
I got something in my teeth.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't want our listeners to have to see me. I don't want them to have to hear me with something in my teeth.
That's horrible.
It's so embarrassing.
It's too bad they have to hear me getting over a cold, so I can deal with my frog voice this week. Maybe they can deal with your
ribbit.
They can deal with the food in your mouth. Oh, it sounds horrible. All right. Oscars happened last week, and so I felt like it was kind of a slower news week. Most of the news out there was for like Netflix and Hulu and stuff. But we found some stuff to talk about.
I came across some hard-hitting news.
Yeah. I see you found some stuff that I
did. I have one that I want to lead off with.
Okay. Hit me.
All right. And I think we all learned about this together. Did you watch the Oscars?
I didn't.
You did not.
I
you didn't. Just saw the winners the next day.
Right.
Well, me and Amy and Kayla, we watched the whole thing.
What?
Which is really unusual, to be totally honest. But we did. And I even stayed up late. And even like after, like as it got later and later, I do this really funny thing.
Where you fall asleep?
No. I do this really funny thing where I start complaining about how I'm still awake. But when I say really funny thing, it's also pretty annoying. It's funny to me, you know, so I think that's sort of the main thing.
So it keeps you going.
So I stayed up to the wee hours, and you might not have known this if you didn't watch the show, but they did announce, and I'm reporting it like it's a silly piece of news, but it's now officially on my bucket list.
Oh.
They're opening the Oscar Museum in Hollywood, December of 2020.
Wow.
I'm on board, man. I don't get out to LA a lot, but I definitely am going to find a reason to be in Los Angeles, and I will spend a day going through this.
Podcast trip.
What'd you say?
Podcast trip.
Yeah, definitely.
There we go.
Yeah, podcast road trip.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what if we could get press passes and like, can What's we do that? A live show from the museum?
From the museum?
I'll call Tom Hanks and ask him.
Okay. You're one in.
Right. But I find, I don't know, I hate to admit this because it's so corny, but when I watch the Oscars, and when I think about all the good movies, like I get excited about the movie. Like the movie, the history of the movies is an incredible thing. You know, there's incredible brilliance and creativity and works of art that have occurred and exciting things. And I look back at little things like Titanic, Jaws, you know, Godfather, some of the more iconic, Casablanca, you know, some of the exciting things that have happened in our business in the last, you know, 100 years. Right. I know the Oscars are 92 years old, but the movie business has been around a little over 100 years. And I think it's super cool. And if I get the chance to be in Hollywood, I will definitely set aside a day and do this museum.
Well, so here's what I don't understand about your story. It was the 92nd Oscars?
Yeah.
Why did it feel like it was 3 hours?
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care. Bye, party on. Oh, my God. That's awful. Now, let me contradict myself.
Okay.
Because you know how I enjoy that.
Oh, what?
What? Is the Oscar Museum going to, like, not have anything about Star Wars and Avengers and, like, the good movies that we love? And I also want to go on record with a statement of regret.
Oh, boy. What's that?
It struck me. I first glimpsed this regret.
I first glimpsed it on Sunday afternoon. We'll sit by sea.
Whilst perched on a stool at local watering hole Zootropolis Cinema Stillhouse.
Oh.
I was not sipping on moonshine, but I believe I was in the vicinity.
Of moonshine.
Of moonshine. We'll have to get more from Chayla on that. But anyway, I saw a glimpse of this regret, and the more I think about it, the more it's a full-on regret.
Yeah.
And next year, when we do our top 10 movies, I'm going to do them David Moulton style. Because this list that I came up with is bullshit. Because when I think about the movies, what I should have put on my list are my favorite movies that I enjoyed the most.
Yeah.
And I think that I came up with my list based, I think I had my pinky out. And I was like trying to like, what were the best movies that came out in 2019?
Right. They weren't your best movies.
You know, and so that's why I contradict myself about this Oscar museum, because like, I'm totally going to go, or I hope to go.
Right.
But like, are they going to have, is Knives Out going to be recognized?
Is Uncut Gems going to be there?
Well, obviously not. More about that when we get to the news.
What?
But is Chewie, is Chewbacca going to be recognized?
Oh, it's not the pop culture museum.
That's what I'm saying.
Oscar museum.
Right.
Get so it right.
I will definitely go, but I will be nervous, and I might come away from it with some resentment.
You're gonna come out crying.
Please
hurt me.
I have a pre-planned problem with this museum. Tune in to episode 312 when we discuss Penn's problem with the Oscar Museum.
It'll be the most tear-filled episode to date.
All right, tell me about Doctor Strange.
All right, Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Director Scott Derrickson.
Yes. Go on.
He's out.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah. He's out. He's not He's not directing it anymore. But they say that they're going to bring in Sam Raimi.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm cool.
Yeah.
And now I like Sam Raimi.
Okay.
Here's my question about that. Spider-Man 3. Was not good.
Is that the one that starred Tom Holland?
No.
Spider-Man
3 with Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire, right.
Has
the
emo dance down the street.
Yeah, it's awkward.
It's notoriously bad because he wanted to do something and the studio came in and said, no, you got to do this. Mm. And they forced him to do a bunch of stuff. 1 and 2, especially 2, are great. And then the studio got really heavily involved.
I see where you're going with this.
Marvel movies... The studio is heavily involved, and they've lost directors because of that. Edgar Wright, go on and on.
Ryan Johnson.
Everyone's favorite. But do you think he'll stay attached for very long with that kind of control? Or do you think if he goes into it knowing, like I can do a little bit of my own thing like James Gunn did, but like I just have to be careful and follow the guidelines.
Here's my thought.
Yeah.
Just a guess. Obviously, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Don't you think he knows what he's getting into?
Well, that's what I would assume.
Like, if you're going to go have a conversation, if your name is going to be announced to direct Doctor Strange 2, wouldn't you have, like, called up some of these, like, James Gunn and been like, hey, how bad really is it? Or what is it really like? Or is it that awful, but maybe it's worth it anyway? Like, I feel like he would have done his due diligence and figured this out. And if he didn't, then he's a dope. Shame on him.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, now, here's some more news about Doctor Strange. You're familiar with the Loki series that's coming to Disney+, which apparently is going to also have to do with multiversal... like type of things, Loki bouncing around between multiverse realms and stuff. The head guy from that, the showrunner, has come on to be one of the head writers of Doctor Strange 2.
All right.
I think that's good because...
Nice crossover action?
Well, I mean, from what I understand, like all these Disney+ series will affect the movies. And if you're going to have like something hard to follow, like multiverse shenanigans... In the movie and on the TV, you might as well have the same people involved on both, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't think that you're sure about that.
We have not, correct me if I'm wrong, Disney+ is new enough that we have not yet seen this play out.
Right.
There's been a lot of talk, a lot of speculation.
Yeah.
But is there something wrong with me being skeptical?
No.
Yeah. I mean, they get. They, I
you
will
saw
say
the trailers during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They look pretty rad.
Yeah.
They look movie quality.
True. Disney Plus is killing it. Even their trailers or their commercials last night during the Oscars were dope. Yeah. I mean, they got all the cool products.
Yeah.
There's just no two ways around it.
Speaking of which, I might cancel it till the Marvel stuff comes out. But anyway.
That $5 a month really setting you back?
Just hurts me so bad.
Never going to get to LA if I keep wasting my money on Disney Plus.
I got an Oscar museum to go to. Trash.
All right. Tell me about George Miller.
All right. George Miller, he's officially been given the green light for a fifth Mad Max film set to begin filming in Australia late this fall.
That reminds me of when people say it's a definite maybe.
Look at all the quotes in the sentence. Right. Did you see that?
Yeah.
There's so many like officially right. in quotes.
You know who should green read light. This story? Chris Farley.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I don't brush my teeth. All right.
I was horrible when I read this because I thought in my head, well, it's like even more of a wasteland down there if they film where the fires
have been. David,
so horrible.
That's insensitive.
I'm so horrible. Oh, sorry. Forget that.
Come on now.
I didn't say it.
You insensitive bastard. Party of Five actress Emily Tosta. That's a cool name.
Yeah, Tosta.
I never heard of her before, but that's a cool name. Should I have heard of, am I a loser for not knowing her?
Party of Five was a show that was out like early 90s. So this must have been like the baby on the show?
I never even heard of the show, let alone Emily Tosta. You know why? Because in the early 90s, Jerry Garcia was still alive. And if he wasn't being played at a Grateful Dead concert, I didn't hear it or see it.
Wow.
Unless it was Amy. In the early 90s, the only two things I cared about in this order was Amy and the Grateful Dead.
I'm glad you put it in that order.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, no doubt. Okay. Party of Five actress Emily Tosta has been cast as the rebellious teenage lead in Wally's Wonderland, the upcoming action horror film starring The Cage as a janitor fighting back against an amusement park's animatronic creatures. Are you punking me? Is it, where's the cameras?
I saw this and I was like, I don't care.
This is the best.
This has to go on the
right.
News.
Can we break this down? All right, yeah, we already covered that I don't know, that I never heard of Party of Five, and I never heard of Emily Tosta. So we've covered that.
Right.
Now we're going to talk about the rebellious teenage lead. That's normal, whatever. That's a fair. That doesn't need to be dissected. But Wally's Wonderland, isn't that where the Griswolds go for summer vacation?
Is it tied into Willy Wonka somehow?
I think it's Wally World.
Walmart? Just Walmart?
The upcoming action horror film. What's an action horror film? Give me an example of a previous...
Well, I think there's like... Action horror would be like Zombieland.
Okay.
Or...
Isn't that a horror comedy?
Day of the Dead.
Day of the Dead,
like
maybe.
Where they're constantly on the move.
Yeah.
Whereas in like suspense horror would be slow.
That was awesome when that kid who was rapping at the Oscars last night called out Brad Pitt and was like, and make a sequel to World War Z. All right, so anyway.
That's Tom Cruise. Oh, no, Brad Pitt's World War Z.
Bruh.
War of the Worlds.
Bruh.
My dude.
So anyway, this actress, Emily Tosta, is going to be in Wally World, the upcoming action horror film starring Nick Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
All right, so we're saying Nick Cage is back. When was the last time we saw him do something? Has it been a while, or am I forgetting?
He's in this movie called The Purple something or other. That looks really trippy. It's like an LSD trip that people are talking about, but it's straight to video.
So no, he's not doing anything theatrical. So he's going to come to Wally World and be the janitor fighting, but you know what this could be? This could be the origin story for that. I'm going to blank on it. Who was the bad guy, the M. Night movie where he was living in the basement of the zoo?
Oh, Split?
Yeah, this could be the origin story for Split.
Wasn't Split the origin story for Split?
Right. Nicolas Cage is the janitor fighting back and against an amusement park's animatronic creations. Now listen, David, I don't have all the answers, but I got one answer.
Yeah?
If you're having a problem with the amusement park's animatronic creations,
right.
Couldn't you unplug them? I mean, I hate to be that guy because that's annoying. But I will have a hard time watching a movie where the entire premise could be resolved by turning off the electric.
My guess is that they're probably like coming alive and detaching from electricity. Because otherwise, you're right, just turn the power off. Problem solved. The roller coaster won't stop. Turn it off.
Even a roller coaster, I'm cool with, because you could believe, it's not true, because we all took physics, but you could believe that the momentum of a runaway roller coaster could keep it going indefinitely. The
perpetual motion is right. The machine is not real.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But... I mean, hypothetically, sure.
Okay, so yeah. We have a whole lot of questions about this. The first question is...
When can I watch it?
Is this supposed to be a joke? When can I watch it? Is this like a tongue-in-cheek? Or did they find a way to make this a legit plot?
Yeah.
Is there somebody out there that wants to defend this movie? Podcast@penncinema.com. Please tell me why I should take this seriously. Speaking of taking things seriously... Have I got some news for you?
Oh, my word.
Hey, David.
Yeah, Pat?
Brace yourself. Sit down. All right, everybody sit. Listen, everybody relax. Just calm down. All right. We are seated and ready for this gripping story. I actually thought this was a really interesting story.
Okay.
And somebody... I'm guessing somebody out of the ones who watch camp.
Oh.
But somebody is going to write us and tell us the backstory to this. But here's the thing.
Okay.
Daisy Ridley.
Yeah.
Tom Holland.
Yeah.
They made a movie called Chaos Walking.
Right.
You familiar with this?
Yeah.
You are.
And they just haven't released it. It's been like...
They finished filming it before The Last Jedi opened.
Right.
So it's literally been coming up on 3 years.
Yeah.
So when they release it, so Lionsgate just announced that Chaos Walking has a release date, January 22nd, 2021.
Another year?
Yes. Captain, my captain. So what a shit show. I mean, this is this raises a lot of questions.
It must be horrible. It's got to be horrible.
How could it be horrible with Daisy? First of all. How could it be horrible with Daisy Ridley? Period. End of sentence. Second sentence. It also has Tom Holland, a great writer, great director, great team behind it. What went wrong with this movie where 2 + 2 = 1.7?
Let me start off my argument.
All right, but don't say anything about Daisy Ridley.
With the example A.
Oh, example A. Exhibit A, Your Honor.
The Last Jedi. I believe Daisy Ridley was in The Last Jedi, last I checked.
Yes, and last I checked, The Last Jedi was freaking awesome.
If you could see his body language, the amount of tune he just gave me. Oh my God.
I don't care for your tone. So that's exhibit A? It's unimpressive.
They did this before they were like as big as they are now. So they probably did it for money. I'm not saying that it's not them.
I got you.
Making this movie bad. I think the movie might just be bad.
I got you. Okay. All right.
Story premise. All right. Acting's probably fine.
Okay. I will accept that argument.
You know, I don't know how to tell you this.
You know how they made this movie?
How did they make it?
They made it fast and furious.
Yeah. But you know why they're still putting it out?
Why?
Because it's about family.
It's about family. You sound like Vin Diesel.
Yeah, surprisingly, you know? Yeah.
Do you get that a lot? Do you get mistaken for Vin a lot?
They're always like, you kind of look...
Who's that? Who do you remind? You're...
You look like a mix between Vin Diesel and John Cena. They play brothers in this new movie coming out. And you look like you could be the other brother. All right. Vin Diesel says he's working on the plans to wrap up the Fast and Furious franchise with film number 10, which will actually be... two films, part one and part two, to which I say, bullshit. That's 11 movies. Just call it Fast and Furious 10 and Fast and Furious 11.
No.
Why does it have to be part one and part two?
You're wrong.
So when somebody asks you, how many Fast and Furious movies are you going to be, you're going to be like, there's 10.
When somebody asks me, how many Fast and Furious movies are there? I'm going to say there's 11. And I'm going to say, just like Harry Potter, they wrapped up the franchise with a two-part story.
Yeah.
So the 10th story will be part one and 10th story part two. Now, I will agree with you. I will call BS. If
just don't number it.
Okay, first of all, that's fine.
Yeah,
but
that's all I'm
saying. Will call BS if I will agree with you.
I'm fine with them splitting a movie into two.
All right.
But don't say there's only 10 and then call it one and two.
All right. I will agree with you if they call it part one. Like if the title is whatever, Fast 10 part one. And then the next movie is Fast 10 part two. Or Furious 10 part two. But they need to acknowledge in the title, like Harry Potter did, that it's one and two. Like you can't be sneaking in Fast 10 and then Fast 10 again.
Fast 10 again?
Right.
and now Furious.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, whatever. I mean, I'm cool with them ending the series with that, but it's just the moniker of calling it Fast Furious 10. There's 10 movies, one and two. Last one's two movies.
You know, maybe he's just taking a page out of Quentin Tarantino's book.
That's probably
only making
right.
10 movies. Kill Bill Volume 4.
Not counting the spinoffs.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
This is a big rumor.
Joaquin
Phoenix, hot off the presses of his Oscar stuff.
His vegan victory.
Yeah, his vegan victory. Rumor has it. He's been offered the role.
Wait, if it's a rumor, should we be telling it to our listener?
All I'm saying is, I talk to our listeners.
And both of them?
They could keep a secret.
Okay, good.
So we don't have to worry about it getting it out.
All right.
With our guys.
All right.
Like, this is clean.
This is it.
He's been offered the role as Captain Hook in the new live-action Peter Pan. Do you think we need a new live-action Peter Pan? In the last decade, or two decades, there's been like four? Right? Pan. Neverland. The one with the Peter Pan with...
yes. With get there, David, get
Peter
there.
Peter Pan with Hugh Jackman. And wasn't there an animated one too?
I have no idea. I think Peter Pan is... I got no problem with another Peter Pan. I agree, it's been totally done. What I would like to see is... I would like to see a live-action Peter Pan if, in fact, it is Peter Pan. I don't want to see the origin story of Hook. Or, I mean, maybe I do. But, you know, like, I feel like all those sideways looks at it have been done.
Right.
Like, all those movies that you just listed are a little bit, like, coming at it sideways. You know, trying to take a fresh approach. Like, we had this conversation last week about Bambi.
Yeah.
Right? I would be the same. I would feel the same way about Peter Pan. Like, tell Peter Pan the way it's freaking written. Like, like have the kids asleep in the rich white house in England, you know, and have Peter Pan show up with a little Tinkerbell. Now, if you want to do a interpretive Peter Pan movie, that's fine too. Hire Lin-Manuel Miranda. He could do a fantastic job. And off you go. But yeah, I'm okay with this. And I think that Joaquin Phoenix would be perfect in the role of Captain Hook.
I counter your argument.
You'll see my Joaquin and raise me a vegan burger.
I say, cut the crap.
Raise me a black bean burger.
Let's go straight to the Rufio movie we all want and need.
The what?
Rufio. 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 Rufio.
I have no idea what Rufio is.
Hook.
From Hook?
Yeah.
All right.
Remember Hook?
No.
With Robin Williams?
David, I have a story to tell you.
You've never seen Hook.
I never saw Hook. When did it come out? In the 90s?
Yeah.
I did see movies in the 90s, but not a lot of them.
Watch Hook with Kayla.
Amy and I saw Titanic. at the what's that one out by Dutch?
I saw the Matrix there.
What was the movie? What was that called? The Dutch.
Dutch Wonderland. It was Dutch Wonderland Theater. Eric, no, it wasn't Eric. It
was Dutch Wonderland 4.
Yeah.
And then we saw Jurassic Park in the 90s at a drive-in up near Reading.
Whoa.
I think.
Did you get shot?
All right. Sorry.
Watch Hook.
All right. Kayla and I are going to watch Hook.
It's a family-friendly movie.
So Kayla and I were reminiscing last night about our John Hughes adventures.
Did you finish?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I can't think of any that we didn't see.
Are you guys writing a book about it now? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It comes out in early 2020. So I was trying to think of what's the next director? Podcast at PennCinema.com.
I thought you picked one out already.
Who was that? We sort of talked about it.
Forrest Gump. Who's Forrest Gump?
Zemeckis. Robert Zemeckis. Yeah, we should just stick with that.
Yeah.
All right. That's what we're going to do. All right. Speaking of classics, Kathleen Kennedy promises that one Harrison Ford is indeed up for the next Indiana Jones movie, which is not a reboot. What were we talking about last week? Somebody said they were up for it.
I think it's a couple times it's been, but the other things, it was more the actors saying, yeah, I'd do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
And now he's got the president of Disney saying,
yeah,
she's not the president, but you know what I mean?
Right.
She's got a big shot. She's got the front office. He's up for it.
Do you think he can do a good Indiana Jones at 80 something?
He's not 80.
My man.
Is he really?
My man, I'm looking it up. Is he? Right now.
Because speaking of age, let's tie these two stories together. Sylvester Stallone is making a new action movie called Little America, which does not have a studio attached to it. Universal was on it and then dropped it. And Little America is going to the European film market to look for a buyer. What's interesting about this story, what sort of took my breath away a little bit, Sylvester Stallone is 73 years old.
Okay, yeah.
70
Harrison
with a
Ford
7.
Is 77.
Harrison Ford is 77.
Yeah.
I think at some point you have to play Indiana Jones as the retired, like...
Right.
You know, let him be in the movie, but no, I don't think he should or could carry an action movie.
I mean, at what age was Sean Connery playing his father?
Right.
You know? So, I'm fine with him being in it, but it's time to pass the mantle.
Yeah.
Or just James Bond it.
Too bad Shia LaBeouf sucked so much. No, I like the James Bond idea. I like that idea.
Yeah, I'd actually be better off if they just straight up... No explanation, just...
You know,
it's too bad they didn't jump on this bandwagon earlier. I guess they could still do it, but they could... I think the perfect role would have been Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
Would have been a great Indiana Jones. He still could do it, but he's also...
He's producing.
Yeah. He's on to better, bigger and better things.
You know who would be great?
Who?
Just because he's so freaking great, he could do anything? Adam Driver.
You just love your Adam Driver.
I'm not going to lie. I do.
Why don't you just get...
Why don't you marry him if you love him so much?
You know who would make a great Indiana Jones?
Daisy Ridley.
Chloe Grace Moretz. She'd be amazing as Indiana Jones.
I thought of you yesterday. I was scrolling through, I think it was HBO movies, and Grace... What's the movie that we don't like? Greta.
Greta.
Greta came across, and I was like, oh, my God.
You were like, whoa, I wonder what this is.
This looks good.
I should put this on. You never learn.
Oh, my God. All right, let's talk about it. That's all the news.
Yeah, time for trailers. All right. This first one's called The Vast of Night. This is a highly independent film picked up by Amazon Studios, and they're now putting it out into supposedly theaters as well as Amazon Prime. How'd you feel about this trailer?
I thought it was great. I really did. I thought it was a great trailer. It's a horror movie. It's spooky. It's science fiction-y.
It's very, very, very indie.
It's more science fiction-y than it is horror, although it's certainly a scary movie. Yeah. But there were a number of giveaways in the movie that made me feel like it was a very witty, isn't quite the right word, but like smart, likable. And the one that comes to mind the most is she's on the phone. Apparently, apparently she's taking some kind of news that we don't know what, but you, from what I'm about to tell you, you discern that the mom, like, told her so, right? And now it's coming true because she's on the phone, like, dealing with this intense, like, news coming in, and the mom is behind her grinning, and the kid's, like, trying to deal with this, like, awful situation, and she's yelling at her mom, stop smiling, stop smiling, stop smiling.
See, I read that scene differently. She says, the mom says, so-and-so is here, the guy's there.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's just helping me with the project.
Right, 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 right.
Stop smiling, mom.
Right, right.
And she's like, he's just helping with the project. Stop smiling, mom. Because right. She's like, ooh, boy's here.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I read it the same way. I just didn't, I remembered it inaccurately. But yeah, but I thought that was cute. I thought it was like touching. It showed that there's some character. There's some plot lines besides the scary thing in the sky.
Yeah, I think it looks really good.
I do too. I don't believe for a second that it's going to come to theaters.
No, neither do I. It said it did, so I allowed it to go on the list.
Right.
Yeah. All right, give me probably the most serious film that we have to talk
now,
about.
I just want to tell you before we start about this trailer.
Yeah.
Penn Cinema is going to offer a new service starting this summer.
Oh.
We're going to have discussion groups. To help people process complicated plots, heavy social mores that are discussed.
There's going to be one after this movie,
and this is going to kick off the series.
Okay,
obviously, I'm talking about Minions: The Rise of Gru. And what I love most about this movie, I love a lot of things about this trailer, but the first thing that caught my eye that I especially loved was when he crawls into the waiting room and all the bad guys are sitting there waiting for their chance to, like, interview or whatever.
Yeah.
The one bad guy's reading Mad Magazine.
You love your Mad.
I do love my Mad. And it's not just good enough that he was reading a Mad Magazine, but the Mad Magazine was time appropriate. It had Nixon on the cover of the magazine, showing that it was young Gru, back in the 70s, right, or whatever. Like, it showed the timeline. It's such a subtle detail that, it's just the kind of reason why Despicable Me and Minions just are such, I mean, they're Drew's favorite franchise, I think, and they're a lot of people's favorite franchises. And this trailer shows you why. It's absolutely hilarious. Yeah. I can't wait.
I think it looks great. I've never seen any of them. I know.
Really?
Because if it wasn't Amy and it wasn't Cherry Garcia, I wasn't watching.
Cherry Garcia. You really have never seen Despicable Me or Minions?
No.
All right, well, brace yourself.
Oh.
I think these are some of the funniest kids' movies. I don't know how to finish that sentence. Do you say of all time?
Wow.
Maybe Shrek.
I've heard really good things.
Maybe Shrek is funnier.
All the trailers and stuff, I've always found them kind of humorous. I just never had a reason to watch them.
Yeah.
Other than myself.
Did you enjoy this trailer?
Yeah, I did. I did, actually. I thought it was really funny.
And then the one minion loses his secret medallion or whatever, trades it for a pet rock. And Gru says, I wrote it down here somewhere. He says, are you pulling on my legs right now? Classic.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. We've talked about this movie before.
Wasn't this our first real look at it?
This is our first look at it.
Yeah.
But Spiral, which is, what's the subtitle? It's like the Saw story or something.
From the Book of Saw.
The Book of Saw,
Spiral. Something like that.
I don't know where it fits in the timeline. It stars Chris Rock. He produced it, right?
Yeah. Executive producer and star.
Yeah. And it looks pretty intense. It reminded me of, like, all the buddy cop things that he's been in, except for... I'm laughing because instead of playing the, like, comedy role that he normally plays, he's, like, the straight guy in this.
It doesn't appear that there is a comedy role.
Right. So, but he just seemed like he was... And it's not that he can't. It's just I'm just not used to seeing him in the straight role. And it's, like, his version of being the straight guy is just squinting all the time. Watch the trailer again. And he's just constantly squinting. Every scene, he's like... squint stare.
He went to the Clint Eastwood School of Serious Acting.
Right. Yeah. I'm nitpicking, but I just thought that was funny.
We've known ever since we started talking about this movie, and I'll tell you in a minute how I feel about it, but we've known ever since we started talking about this movie that it was going to be hard or at least interesting to take Chris Rock in a serious role.
Right.
Because he is, in my opinion, one of the funniest, if not the funniest guys alive.
He's pretty funny.
And he's so funny that you almost look at him and start laughing. You know what I mean? Like, you just expect him to say something funny.
That's not that hard. People do that with me all the time.
Well, you're not trying to play a cop.
That's true.
You're just David.
That's right.
Yeah. John Cena's long-lost brother. His twin brother. But, okay, so here's the thing that I want to say about this. I bought it.
You bought it?
I bought it. Like, I will watch this movie. I think I can get over Chris Rock. I think I can buy him being serious. I see what you mean about the squinting and he wears the sunglasses and he wears them like all the way into the building and takes them off like as he's approaching the people that he's talking to. All right. You know, whatever. Like, fine.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's the best actor or whatever, but I do think that I can buy him as in a serious role. And I loved the look, the tone, the feel of the trailer looked really great.
Yeah, I think it looks fine. I really do. As far as like a Saw movie, this is the first one in a long time that it's piqued my interest. It doesn't just look like horror porn.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
All right. Radioactive in cinemas, March 20th. Now, this one is also from Amazon.
Right.
But I believe it.
Yeah?
I believe that it's going to be released in theaters. Now, it might get a limited release. You know, but it the first movie we talked about from Amazon was The Vast of Night. And at the end, in little incy wincy bincy font, it said in theaters. And then in normal size font, it said and Prime.
Right.
This one didn't say anything about Prime, other than the fact it came from Amazon. And at the end of the trailer, it said in theaters March 20th, in cinemas March 20th. Yeah. So the movie is Radioactive. It reminds me a little bit of a cross between, what was the movie where the guy, the Enigma, he cracked the secret codes and he turned out to be gay. There was World War II. He was a World War II British spy and he cracked the German codes and like saved the war. But he never got his recognition because he was also gay.
Right.
It seems like a cross between that and like Hidden Figures, where there's a woman who, you know, makes this incredible contribution to mankind and is not recognized for it because at the times, you know, they only recognized men.
Right.
So I don't know. It looks compelling. It looks beautiful. It's a period piece. It looks well done.
Yeah.
I would totally go see it. I don't know if it's going to make it to Lititz or Wilmington or Huntington Valley.
Right.
But I kind of hope it does.
I think it looked like a pretty good movie.
I don't know if you remember, we watched the trailer to Parasite.
Right.
Like however many months ago. And do you remember I said to you right before the show, I emailed Neon and I was like, I got to get this movie because of the trailer. And I did. And I've pretty much been playing it here ever since.
Right.
It went away for a little while around Christmas, but we've had it back. It's been playing here all January. It's still playing here, even as I, you know, sit here and talk to you. And so
you're talking to me?
I kind of feel that way about Radioactive. Like I didn't have time before we started recording, but I did make a mental note to email my guy from Amazon and, you know, see what the deal is with this movie. I'm not trying to equal it to Parasite. I'm just saying the trailer had that same effect where I suddenly wanted to book this movie because I feel like audiences want to hear stories like this.
Right. All right. So the last trailer we have, my opinion, had a dissimilar reaction.
Right.
It's called Bull. And it's about bull riding.
Yeah. Great.
And it's your typical troubled kid gets taken under the wing of a washed out athlete, and then that athlete raises them up to be their protege in said sport. It just so happens that this sport is bull riding.
So you have your sports and your animal cruelty all wrapped up in one.
And drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. And by amazing, I mean the trailer was not well put together.
No, this was obviously, I don't know. I'm not trying to be snooty.
Pinkies out.
It looked like a low budget, like kind of an all right movie. Like it probably won't see any of our theaters.
Yeah. I mean, from everything I saw, it said it was coming out. So.
Oh no, it's definitely going to get a release, but yeah. I'm not sure it's going to get, like, I don't know.
I mean, quality-wise, you're going to yell at me for this. Quality-wise, I was waiting for the turn to be like Jesus movie. At some point.
Well, he's got the cross painted on his cheek when he's done up for the bull riding.
Oh.
They didn't read that part in the Bible about all God's creatures, great and small. They just like the part about us.
Us. Yeah.
No, I don't know. I mean, this, yeah, whatever. This, to me, this is like irrelevant.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about what's been going on at the theater. Last week, we didn't talk about what's been going on at the theater. So
this is a perfect segue.
Give us a rundown.
This is a perfect segue because when we wrapped up our discussion of new trailers.
Yeah.
You may recall. Remember earlier in this episode we were doing trailers?
It seems like forever ago.
And remember we finished our discussion of trailers with a movie called Bull?
Yeah.
About the bull riders?
That's crazy.
And at the end of that discussion, I said it's irrelevant. Speaking of irrelevant.
What?
Let me tell you about this new Adam Sandler movie called Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
It's a big push.
Uh-huh.
Now I have to tell you, sometimes I make decisions because I think the theater is going to make money. Right. And sometimes I make decisions because I think the audience will want, will want something.
Yeah.
This was a decision. I was at the, remember last week I was all whiny and cryy about Adam Sandler and Netflix, and yeah. I was all kinds of obnoxious about my little soapbox.
I've never heard you go off on anything before.
To show you the professional that I am.
Uh-huh.
Despite my little soapbox.
Yeah.
The very next day.
Oh.
I got an email about we're re-releasing Uncut Gems with an introduction by Adam Sandler and a very fun Q&A after the film. 10 additional minutes. So not only do I have to bring Uncut Gems back, but it's even longer, which is harder for us to schedule. So I agreed to bring it back to Wilmington and Lititz.
Wow.
Nobody, I suspect that our boy Pirate Dave came and saw it.
What? Or
maybe he didn't come here, but I bet you he went somewhere and saw this because he was. Remember, this was like his movie of the year. Yeah. So if that was your movie of the year, I imagine you came out and saw it.
Well, I know he's not even watching movies anymore, and that's why we haven't heard from him.
Well, anyway, Uncut Gems. I will say it did outgross The Turning and Rhythm Section.
Wow.
But other than that, the story at all of our locations, so Birds of Prey underperformed.
Uh-huh.
That was the national headline. But it still was the number one movie at all our locations. Bad Boys for Life is a solid number two. 1917 is solid number three. The interesting thing right there, Doolittle.
Really?
Doolittle's hanging around.
Really?
Doolittle and Jumanji are both kind of hanging around. Jumanji... You know, Jumanji's going into its 10th week.
Whoa.
And it's like right now, just looking in Lititz, Jumanji's the number four picture.
You know what I think it is? This weather we've been having. It's rainy. Not much to do with the kids.
Yeah.
Because both of those movies are kid appropriate, like,
yeah.
films.
Yeah. So I think you're right. And I think, so that's also a segue to Sonic.
Oh.
Sonic opens this weekend. I think it's going to be big.
Okay.
So I think that Birds of Prey underperformed. We'll talk about a movie review in a minute. But I predict that Sonic is going to overperform.
I bet you're right.
So we'll see. We're also opening downhill in Lititz and Wilmington, down the riverfront in Delaware. They love their comedy down there. They really do. It's great. So downhill will open in Wilmington, as well as Sonic and Fantasy Island, Blumhouse's Fantasy Island. Don't forget
right.
the Blumhouse. And, of course, The Photograph. Now, we're going to talk later at the end of the show about what we're going to do next week, but I kind of feel like I want to see all four of these new movies.
Wow.
I want to see Sonic just because.
Yeah.
You know, and I think The Photograph, I feel like there's going to be a twist, so I kind of want to see it.
Okay.
And Fantasy Island looks pretty bad.
What if the twist is that it's really just, the whole thing is really just a music video for the Nickelback song? Look at this photograph!
And Downhill, that's intriguing, and it's only an hour and a half long.
Wow.
So stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Put that on your plate.
Put that on your plate. A nice accent there, which reminds me of 01 Harley Quinn.
01 Harley Quinn.
So let's go into our movie review for Birds of Prey and the Fabulous Emancipation of 01 Harley Quinn. Spoiler alerts from this point on.
David, I brought you a gift. I brought him this genuine souvenir popcorn tub with the Fantabulous Emancipation of Miss Harley Quinn, and the Birds of Prey are depicted
as birds
around as birds, and even the blonde bad guy is on there.
Ooh,
and yeah, it's only in theaters February 7th, and it has the DC logo on the title treatment.
Whoa, there's actual birds on here too. Harley Quinn is on here twice.
So what'd you think of this movie, David?
Yeah, whatever.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't... Here's what I said going out. I said, I think it might be the best DC movie after, like, Wonder Woman. Or maybe after Man of Steel.
Do we consider Joker a DC movie?
No, I mean...
Where do we put Joker? What are we supposed to do with Joker?
What are we supposed to do with Joker? Seriously. I don't know. Not including Joker. I mean, like... superhero movies.
Yeah,
Joker is like its own thing.
Right.
And these movies are somewhat still in the same universe with each other.
Right, okay.
Right?
Right,
so
okay.
I really feel like it was just a solid okay. Like, I don't have a lot to hate about this movie.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I want to see it again.
Yeah?
Now, I'm not going to try to argue with anybody that it was great or that it was the best movie ever, but it was so much fun. And I guess I'm a sucker for movies with narrators. I loved the way they told the story, and I loved like how she's telling the story, and then she's like, "Oh wait, we got to go back if you're going to understand this." And then they like,
yeah,
you know, rewind the whole thing, and I thought that was really fresh, and it was done well. I love at the end when she rides off into the sunset with the girl, you know, and she continues on her career as bad guy, but the Birds of Prey remain. Like, yeah. I just saw it, like, it was super cool. It would have been almost too easy if they all became, like, their own little gang, you know, and I just saw it. I don't know. I liked everything about it. There was, you know... A variety of problems.
What? You know?
A variety of problems throughout. But I just feel like, okay, so let me put it this way. The movie is so ridiculous. And you knew that going in.
Yeah. Yeah.
The movie is so ridiculous that the problems throughout, you got to overlook them. And it's easy to overlook them because you're in the spirit of like this ridiculous movie.
I thought it was fun. I do think it was fun. I really liked the action. I thought like the fighting in it and stuff was pretty well done. Entertaining. It didn't feel like too much of a setup. I thought that part of it was great. I think she as Harley Quinn is amazing. I really like her as Harley Quinn. What runs me the wrong way is the costume design. Of like Harley Quinn and just like the tattoos, and they can't get rid of it because it's been in Suicide Squad already and Batman vs Superman. Like, they did a good, I mean, they were able to like not have the Joker in this, so we didn't have to see him. And
one thing I didn't like is that she called him Mr. J. Is that comic book lore?
She goes, I'm Mr. J.
Yeah.
She calls him Puddin' too.
Yeah.
Puddin' and Mr. J.
Yeah. So, you know, the other thing I loved about this, I walked out of this and downloaded the soundtrack immediately. Soundtrack is dope.
Really?
Yeah.
So
I thought it was awesome. I was into it.
I felt like they were trying to be Guardians of the Galaxy and it just didn't quite work.
No. Guardians of the Galaxy was like, took classic songs and sort of like...
revitalized them?
Yeah, not revitalized them, but like a little wink and a nod, you know, and I don't want to say trying to be funny about it, but almost like added an element of like the personality of the film. This movie reminded me, the soundtrack reminded me of The Great Gatsby. Very fresh, very modern, very original. Now I know there were some covers, and that weird little montage with Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend is and like the Madonna... like tribute was weird. Like that was like when she, I guess it was consistent because she got knocked out and she was like having a weird little concussion moment. But
this is how I read into that. Stop you for a second.
Yeah.
She has that he hits her once.
Right.
And she starts doing that. And in that sequence, she's dancing around Diamond Circle's best friend and he's dancing with her. And she's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I think it was showing how she almost went back to her, is it masochistic? Like, basically, like, he hit her and she, like, started to fall for him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For a split second, she was like, oh, like, someone for me to love, someone who hates on me. And then he hits her again and she snaps out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I thought the soundtrack was awesome.
I will say this about the soundtrack, because I've listened to a couple of the songs. And some of them I thought that they were good, but, like, I just felt like it was an ad for the songs. But the song, The Joke's on You, I forget who sings it, that it sounds like a Bond song, a really cool Bond song. I'm like, this could have been a Bond song, and it could have been awesome. So that's just what I'm saying. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
This movie did not perform well. It only got like $80 million, right? It like barely made its budget.
No, it was like $30 million.
$30 million.
But it was projected only to do $40 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't it cost $80 million to make though, I thought?
Yeah, but they'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah. So not a lot of people seen it. I'm kind of surprised by that.
I think it has legs because the reviews are high. Yeah. The reviews are solid. And the consensus from people I talked to in the lobby, and now I'm in Lititz, but you know, the consensus seems to be that it's really good. You don't hear people disappointed in it. The only people disappointed are the studio execs.
Yeah. I thought it was fine. Like, I'm not going to tell anyone not to go see this.
All right.
I thought it's not like Suicide Squad. I thought it was like, it's a decent movie. I'm not thrilled about it, but it's not because of anything wrong. It just didn't wow me.
All right. Let me say this sentence.
Let me finish off my thought here. Seeing the audience for this and how sparse it was worries me about Black Widow.
This movie is, of course, indelibly linked to Suicide Squad.
Right.
Here's my sentence. This movie is a million times better than Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
It's a world better.
Yeah.
Yeah. This audience has nothing to do with the Black Widow audience.
You don't think?
Nah.
Okay.
Nah, brah. Let's talk Oscars.
Okay. Moving on. We're out of spoiler territory. We're going to talk Oscar.
Are we, though?
Results. Are we?
Huh?
All right. We're not going to spend too much time on getting into things because you could look this stuff up online. But we want to talk about what we voted for and what actually won. Let's just see what happened.
And one of us watched the Oscars.
One of us.
And one of us didn't. We're not going to point finger. It doesn't matter who.
Right.
It doesn't matter. We're not trying to.
Yeah.
You know.
One of us has TV and one of us doesn't. So
you don't have regular TV?
No.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
What do you do? How do you watch your sports ball?
Oh, that's weird. I don't. I guess technically it comes with my package, but I don't have the box hooked up.
That's awesome. I just learn more and more about you, and everything I learn makes me like you more. All right, so I don't think we actually need to talk about the big headliners. Parasite won Best Picture.
Uh-huh.
You and I predicted that. That was our vote. We saw that a mile away.
Right.
Were you surprised?
No. I mean, well, yes, because I thought as much as it deserved it, I thought it wasn't going to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was surprised because earlier in the show, it got Best International Film.
Yeah. And I didn't think we'd get both of them.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
And I picked it to win, but I was speaking to an audience Sunday morning about the Oscars, and I said to them, I said, if 1917 wins Best Picture, then you know the Academy is going business as usual status quo. If they pick Parasite, I feel like it's the beginning or at least a slight indicator of a new
regime.
I don't even want to say regime. I just feel like it's a good sign. It's a good sign for the future of the Oscars. Not trying to overanalyze it. Now, one that you and I got way wrong.
Okay.
Now, we didn't see the tsunami the Parasite was. I mean, it went in and swept everything. You and I were sure. I used the word a lock. I said, Sam Mendes is a lock.
For Best Director.
For Best Director. And my second choice would have been Todd Phillips for Joker.
Yeah.
My third choice would have been Tarantino. My fourth choice would have been Scorsese. My fifth choice would have been the guy who actually won.
Bong Ho, right?
Bong Ho, the director of Parasite. So good for him for getting that. You and I correctly nailed, obviously, as soon as I walked out of Joker, the first time I saw it, I knew that he was going to get Best Actor.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix.
You watched Judy. And as soon as you watched Judy, you walked out and you told me.
As soon as I watched the trailer for Judy.
As soon as you watched the trailer.
I said, she's going to get Best Actress.
Renee Zellweger is going to get Best Actress. And you were right. Now, this was another one that I was surprised about. Adapted screenplay. Jojo Rabbit.
Really? We don't know what it means. That's part of the problem. Yeah. Next year, we're going to get, we said we're going to be better versed in what
think,
these things
I mean. I think we know what adapted screenplay means. It means that. There's source material. It's based on a book or a short story or a comic or something like that.
Yeah.
So adapted screenplay, The Irishman is based on I Heard You Paint Houses. Joker has all the comic book. Little Woman is a book. I guess I don't know The Two Popes. I don't know if that's based on a book or on the fact that it's a true story. And I assume Jojo Rabbit's based on some short story somewhere or a book. But anyway, Jojo Rabbit won, which I thought was really great, but I was surprised.
Yeah.
I thought I picked Joker to win, but I was secretly sure that Irishman would win because I thought that this is how they would take care of their boy, Scorsese.
Scorsese.
And I was wrong. Speaking of Scorsese, I picked Al Pacino for The Irishman. And this is another category where my fifth choice, if it wasn't Pacino, I would have picked Tom Hanks. And then I would have picked Anthony Hopkins and then Joe Pesci and then Brad Pitt, and Brad Pitt won.
For Ad Astra.
For Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
Although he was great in Ad Astra. Yeah. Supporting actress, we all called Laura Dern. Did you watch Marriage Story?
No, did you?
No.
Yeah.
But I knew she would win because she's Hollywood royalty. And like I said last week, she was kind of having a moment this year. So good for her. Happy to see that. Interestingly, for those of you keeping score at home, David, you and I picked Florence Pugh or Pug or
Pow.
Powell. Florence Pow from Little
Little Puerto
Pow. All of a sudden, I'm hungry for Chinese food. Animated feature went to Toy Story 4. I thought Missing Link was clearly the best animated feature film of the year. Parasite went to got the international film. That was no surprise there. Original screenplay went to Parasite.
Oh, wow.
You and I thought it was going to go to Knives Out.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't Knives Out, I thought it would have been Noah Baumbach for Marriage Story. And if not Marriage Story, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or 1917. But again...
Parasite just won out.
It was one of those nights, you know, where you just started to see as the show went on, like, oh, this guy's going to clean up. The other one that got a lot of awards that we'll get to as they start to come up, but Once Upon a Time in Hollywood got a number of like tech awards. Little Women got costume design. You and I correctly picked that. Original song we missed. Elton John got the "I'm Gonna Love Me Again," which we should have seen coming, but we went with the Harriet Tubman vote. Original score went to it went to Joker. You and I picked 1917. And
really?
The woman who scored it had a hard and impossible to pronounce, like, Eastern European type of name. But her acceptance speech was really great. She gave a little, first of all, she thanked everybody and was very gracious. And then she, spoke about women and young women and girls, you know, and you have a voice and you have something to say, you have something to share, speak out, do your thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was really, I don't know. It wasn't like preachy, but there was something about it that was so sincere and earnest. And here was this woman who just stood up and accepted the Oscar, you know, in a male dominated category. I thought it was pretty cool. Documentary went to American Factory. We picked Honeyland. Documentary is short. Went to Learning to Skateboard in a War Zone if you're a girl.
Okay.
Which I picked.
Okay.
What's up? Makeup and hairstyling.
Ooh.
Went to Bombshell.
I said that.
You did. And I was like, that. No, Joker. And you were like, no, Bombshell.
Yeah. Oh, my word.
Right? How did you know that?
It's all those blonde ladies up
there. I guess. Yeah. I just felt like they're whatever. I don't know. Production design went to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and these two women came up and accepted the award. Now, get ready to hate me.
Okay.
Because I'm going to use a word that's not politically correct. But when you talk about, like, old broads, like, these were two old broads. Like, they don't take no shit from nobody. They're crusty, you know. You could trust them with your life.
Yeah.
You want these two on your team. And I just feel like I know these women. I've worked with women like this, and I loved everything about them. And it was so great to see them stand up there and take their awards. And even Amy was like, what the hell? Like, neither one of them looked like they had, like, they both looked like they just woke up. You know, they were just beautiful in their own, you know, non-glamorous, beautiful way.
Yeah.
You know, and I just thought it was the coolest thing to see these. And again, you know, these two old broads getting an award for production design. It was really great. That was one of my favorite awards. Cinematography. You and I picked this one from A Mile Away, 1917. Film editing. We didn't really know what this meant, so we picked Jojo Rabbit. Sound editing went to Ford versus Ferrari.
Who won though?
Film editing went to Ford versus Ferrari.
Okay.
Sound editing went to Ford versus Ferrari.
For all the vrooms.
So that's interesting that Ford versus Ferrari got all the editing awards.
Huh.
And whatever word is the male counterpart of broad, like an old bastard, like a cranky old
hoots.
Guy, what's the something like that, like, yeah. The old guy that came and accepted the award for sound editing for Ford versus Ferrari. He was classic too. He was like, he was cut from the same cloth. Like, he was the same, like, grumpy old man, you know, and he had the big puffy hair and everything, and he was all like, yeah, you know, my team thanks you. And it was funny. Sound mixing went to 1917. Visual effects, which we picked. Visual effects went to 1917.
Oh.
We picked The Lion King because of the hair.
Yeah. But I guess the slicing together of the continuous cut is pretty impressive.
It's incredible. Animated short film, we correctly picked Hair Love. And live action short film, we correctly picked The Neighbor's Window. Why did we pick Neighbor's Window? Just lucky guess?
Just guessing. Yeah. So we thought it sounded like Rear Window.
So what do you think about all this?
I think we're basically prophetic.
Do you think that this year's Oscars, specifically the results, mean anything? Do you see any meaningful indicators?
Well, the Parasite stuff. I think that's great. That we're expanding outside of just American film, accepting in so many categories that these other venues can make such good movies. I think that's great.
I agree. And we never really reported, because it's not necessarily movie news, but they're doing Parasite spinoffs on HBO.
Oh, really?
All kinds of series, yeah, with other backstories related. And I read a really interesting interview with Bong Joon-ho. I forget his middle name, but I read a really interesting interview with the director, and he was talking about, and he cited some specific examples. Like, for example, when the maid comes back in the middle of the night and rings the doorbell, she has a black eye. But in the movie, we never find out how she got that black eye. And he's like, I have a whole story in my mind about where, you know, what led to that. And, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like it's going to be really fun. When I first heard that he was doing spinoff shows, I was like, whatever. But now that I heard him talk about that, like, I feel like this is going to be really cool. I didn't think it was too meaningful. I thought it was super cool, you know. But I think the fact that they did not nominate any women for Best Director, to me, that was the unfortunate indicator that, like, it's still the same messed up community that it has been for 92 years. Which, you know, whatever, I'm not trying to, you know, take anything away from it, but I think that that is a, I thought it was really unfortunate. So many good movies. Obviously, the main example of the night, everyone's talking about Greta Gerwig and, you know, the how she got snubbed for Little Women. And that's the more I think about Little Women and the job she did on that film, you know, she got completely robbed.
Yeah.
And I also want to say, I feel like she also got robbed on adapted screenplay, because how she handled, especially when you start thinking about how that movie ends and how she chose to handle the ending with leaving the door open for the possibility that the main character, Joe March, was, in fact, did not get married and have children and live the idyllic life, even though that's what her publisher needed her to have happen in the book. And the way that Greta Gerwig dealt with that and made that happen at the conclusion of Little Women, first of all, is brilliant directing, and second of all, shows you what an incredible job she did for adapted screenplay. So she got robbed on at least two categories. So whatever, I feel like that's where the future, that's where the Academy can improve, tackling that.
Yeah.
Did you watch Joaquin Phoenix's speech on
YouTube?
No, but
I heard it was something to write home about.
I thought it was pretty cool because he was basically saying, like, you know, we're all talking about all these causes, and you might think that they're all different causes, but, you know, there's a commonality to all of them, which is injustice, you know, and trying to, whether you're a cow or a person or a human or whether it's, you know, a gay person or a person of color or, you know, whatever, you know, you're just looking for justice. You're just looking for, you know, humanity.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's our Oscar catch up, look back, check in, whatever you want to call it. But let's move on to listener notes, questions, feedback, suggestions, so forth and so on. We heard from Joel Coates this week.
Love that guy. We heard from him a few different times.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of summed it up here. Some of it, a lot of it was just reacting to some of the stuff that we had said, but some new stuff here. He wants us to talk about Rick Moranis potentially coming back for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids on Disney Plus. You know anything about this?
No, except that if Rick Moranis... All right, I got a problem.
What's your problem? With Ben.
You know what my problem is? I got a problem. I'm going to tell you my problem. I got a little problem. I got a problem with Rick Moranis.
Okay.
Here's my problem. My problem is, if you can come back for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids on Disney Plus, you can damn well come back for Ghostbusters Afterlife. Drop mic.
Oh, my
God. Hard
goodness.
Stop.
So, I got good news for you.
Oh.
The article he sent us has hence been...
I should read this stuff when it comes through so I don't embarrass myself.
It was a big thing about how he was in talks to come back. And then it came back and said that they reached out to him, but he hasn't discussed coming back. So it's basically...
Just Dude, Afterlife opens like in a few months.
I'm talking about for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, so you're saying... Okay, so you're not saying he's going to come to Ghostbusters. You're saying he might... not come to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Right.
Okay.
It's looking more like he's not going to come to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
All right. If he does not do Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, then I got no problem with Rick Moranis.
Right.
If all of a sudden he's available for that dumb franchise.
What if he comes back for Spaceballs 2?
All right.
Forgiven?
All right.
Forgiven.
All is forgiven.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You come back for Spaceballs 2, I'll look past a lot.
Joel Coates also wants you to know that he's totally down for an Indiana Jones marathon. Our boy who wrote in last week, what's his name?
His name was Connor, and I did write him back.
Nice.
I sent him a couple IMAX passes,
sweet deal.
And I typed up a very formal letter. Now I have the second regret of the day. What was my first regret? Oh, how I list my 10 best movies.
Not watching Greta again.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Here's my second regret of the day. I don't think, because the kid was like 14, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. I don't think in my letter, so I have, it's a little known, but it is true that I do have Penn Cinema stationery.
Whoa.
Like I have actual letterhead with Whoa. Penn Cinnamon that we bought in 06.
You still have tons
Which
of.
Shows you how often we use it. But every now and then, when I'm appropriately moved, such as writing young Connor from Leola. Anyway, I wrote him back a very nice letter, told him it was a great idea, Indiana Jones Marathon, I'd look into it, and I am looking into it, and I may very well do it. But I don't think I plugged the podcast. Therefore, I'm not sure.
He knows.
I don't think he's listening.
How famous he is.
Yeah.
If you're out there and you know Connor, you tell him, hey, buddy, your podcast's famous. People are talking about you. You're making things get done.
Oh, man.
All right, let's move on to what are you watching, what are you reading, what are you doing? How are you living your life?
I had a big weekend. World? I had a big, big weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
David, you think I'm just a boring old dad. You have this image of me asleep on the couch. Remember you were talking about I was going to sleep through the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All this kind of stuff. No. No, it's not like that.
No, you were asleep before the Super Bowl.
I'm out on the town.
What?
I am out on the town.
Oh, my gosh.
I was at the Exchange. I was at Telus.
What?
I was at Annie Bailey's.
What?
And I was at Zootropolis.
What?
I concluded my night at Zootropolis. One of my dear friends, I'm not going to name names because whatever.
Yeah.
Protect the innocent.
Right.
But one of my dear friends turned 50. And we took her out. A bunch of us all went out.
Yeah.
Well, she partook. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things got a little crazy.
It got a little wild. And it was really funny because she was pretty far along the curve. She was very far ahead of the rest of the gang. Everybody else in the gang was kind of just hanging out.
She was
working it, right? And so she got pretty drunk. And it was funny because she was telling everybody in her line of sight, like she would go over to people that we didn't know, like groups of people, strangers, and like totally thrust herself into their group and be like, does everybody know I'm turning 50? Do you all know I'm 50?
That's hilarious.
So we parted ways. Finally, we got, you know, it got to Annie Bailey's and me and Amy were like, hey, there's a party at Zootropolis. Let's go check that out.
Yeah.
So
the Oscar party.
No. This was Saturday night.
Okay.
So we went over to Zootropolis, which was a ball. But a little while later, we texted the husband of our friend. And we said, how's she doing? He goes, this isn't like, I want to say like 11 o'clock that I texted him or that Amy texted him.
Yeah.
And he goes, she's been in bed for an hour and a half. So she's 50 and she can still party like nobody's business, but she was still in bed at 9:30.
You just got to start partying earlier
in
the day.
That's it. Yeah. So, but anyway, the point of my story was what a good time we had at Zootropolis. There was a band that was having a CD release party and it's this insane band. I don't even know what their name is. But it's like, imagine like a bunch of dads. Remember Devo from the 80s? Did you ever see like the image of... They're just insane. They all came out wearing these like hazmat suits.
Yeah.
But they weren't especially talented. But somehow it all worked and it was like a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
And there was this comedian who opened... Well, there was a woman who sang jazz who opened for them. And she was unbelievably talented. Her voice was amazing. And before her, there was a comedian who might as well have been Pete Davidson. He was hilarious. So we had a really great time. So shout out to Zootropolis, who continues to put on one great, impressive event after another. And I heard from Chayla that the Oscar party was a big success, and she has all kinds of ideas for how she can really kick it up a notch next year.
Nice.
So I think next year, we might have to commit.
Next year, you and I on the red carpet interviewing everyone as they come
in. Oh, that would be great.
You know, give it that real feel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What are you wearing?
Right. Who are you wearing?
Yeah, who are you wearing?
All right, what do you got?
All right, so I got two things. One of my current favorite authors, Terry Goodkind's newest book came out, Heart of Black Heart of Black Ice, which is part of the Sword of Truth series, and I love these books so much. So I'm deep in that. But Sunday morning or Saturday night, I don't remember.
It's a blur.
It's all a blur. Because I finally gave in and thought, been hearing a lot about this Lock and Key show coming out.
Yeah.
I'll just let the trailer play before this YouTube video I'm going to watch. And I was like, all right, this trailer looked good. I've been hearing for years that these books are amazing and that the art's great and everything. And it's like, well, let me check out this show. It's only 10 episodes long. I watched all 10 episodes this weekend.
Oh my God.
I was sick, so I was home, and I was like,
yeah.
The show's good. Do you know anything about it?
No. I mean, I've seen the ad or whatever.
It's like these kids, they go, because their dad dies, they go live in his old ancestral home, and they find these keys, and the keys all have met, they all like do something. Like one key, if you've seen a door, all you have to do is think about it and put this key in a door and turn it and you walk out the other door that you're thinking about.
Oh, that's awesome.
One's a mind key. So you're holding it and someone turns their back to you. A keyhole appears on their neck and you can put it in and turn it and they go limp. And then a door appears there and like another version of them. And you can go through the door and into their mind and like see their memories.
Oh, that's whack.
You can put stuff in there. You can take things from the physical world and put like books and put it in their brain, and then they like will know all that knowledge. Or you can take things out, like emotions and stuff.
All right.
From what I understand, the books are fantasy horror. I would say the movie's more like the show's more like fantasy adventure.
Okay.
So, Lock and Key.
Lock and Key, my friends.
All right. So what are we doing next week?
I have an idea.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's a good idea.
All right.
As Drew and I often say, I don't know if it's a good idea. It's definitely a cool idea. I don't know if it's a good idea.
It's absolutely an idea.
Right. It's an idea. Let's do this.
Okay.
Let's not say what we're going to watch and then see, like,
if we both watch the same movie.
Reveal. And if we both watch the same movie, then we'll talk about that movie. And if we both watch different movies, then each one of us will report on what we saw. I already tipped my cards a little bit by saying that I want to see all four of them.
Yeah.
But I bet that's not going to happen.
Right.
So it'd be interesting to see which ones I prioritize, if any.
Okay.
Because maybe that'll be the joke.
Neither of us see any movies this week. Well, what did you see?
I thought you were going to watch something.
You said you wanted to watch four of them. I thought I could take the week off.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Right?
I'm down. So next week's mystery.
Mystery box.
One of the four, potentially more. Of the movies.
One of the four, potentially more. The Mystery Door.
Mystery Door.
From the four.
All right. If people want to get in touch with us, what's the main way they can do that, Penn?
Podcast@penncinema.com.
That's right.
What's up?
You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/thePennCinemaPodcast.
Home Depot on the back. If you are still listening.
And you remember the Home Depot on the back.
If you're still listening and you dig that movie quote, write us in, and I'll leave you some IMAX passes.
Oh, snap.
Come see Birds of Prey in IMAX on me.
Wow.
If you can name that movie, Home Depot on the back.
Yep.
Because there's a very small, narrow group of people who are, A, still listening, and, B, know that movie.
Or at least heard us talk about it before.
Right.
Way back in the day. So if you want to help support us, the best way you can do that?
Five-star review. On iTunes.
Right? Second best way you can do that?
Write my mom and tell her your boy's doing great.
Yeah. A third best way you can do that? Just tell a friend.
Tell a friend.
Turn to your friend and say, hey, I was listening to this podcast and it changed my life.
It doesn't even really have to be your friend.
Yeah.
It could just be someone you know.
Or you don't.
Oh, if we get a stranger listening, that would be brilliant.
Yeah. Someone just came up to me on the street, told me I needed to listen to the show.
You know how many states we're in right now? Many.
Many.
We should report on that next week.
We're in a state
that
of
would
mind.
Be fun to to keep a tally.
See how many I can look. I can find out.
I know. I know. You've shown me before.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So once again for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care. Party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Yeah. Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.